Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Blog Talk Radio show of U.S. national politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown, and in the studio with us is my co-host, Dr. Jerome Hyler. Today's topic is, why do liberal leaders lie, and where will their lies lead us? How are you today, Doctor?
I'm doing well, getting things done, and as always, very much looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you very much. We have a big show tonight, and I'm sure that the American people want to know basically what's in this title about why do liberals lie and where their lies lead us. I'd like to ask you a couple questions. Let's jump right in if that's okay with you.
Fine.
Okay. You say that the recent Kavanaugh confirmation hearings, especially the final day of the hearings, was marked a watershed event for this country. What do you mean by that?
On that final day of the hearings, Christine Blasey Ford testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee about Brett Kavanaugh's alleged sexual assault that she claimed occurred at a frat party some 34 years earlier. For a fleeting moment in time, millions of Americans who were glued to their TV watched as the Democrats on that Senate committee were willing to say and do whatever it might take to get their way. Truth didn't matter to them, neither did fairness. Kavanaugh was judged guilty despite the near complete absence of corroboration that Ms. Ford was able to offer. She claimed that there were three witnesses to the event all those years ago. The witnesses were contacted by the authorities. They claimed to know nothing whatsoever about that alleged event. It didn't matter to the Democrats on the committee. Keeping Kavanaugh off the Supreme Court was all that mattered. The presumption of innocence, the rule of law, the most revered principles of justice upon which the nation was founded had no bearing on the Democrats' decision in the case. We had to believe the woman victim because she was a woman and a victim, as if men can't be trusted with the truth at all, but every woman is pure and honest as driven snow. That is what anyone with common sense and the common men and women of this country have not lost their common sense, but that is what anyone with common sense has to call absurd. Every human being's experience informs them that women are as capable of lying to get what they want as are men. Was that clear?
Yes, that was extremely clear, and it's unfortunate, but I have to concur with you. So why was Kavanaugh considered such a great threat to the liberal Democrats on the Judiciary Committee? Why was it so important that he be knocked out of the box?
Along with Sam Alito, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, and John Roberts, who was still being heralded as a conservative, Kavanaugh would be the fifth and decisive conservative voice on the high court to rule in very, very key cases. Perhaps the greatest threat Kavanaugh posed as far as the Democrats were concerned, as far as the progressives are concerned, is that with his vote on the court, the Supreme Court could reverse Roe v. Wade and eventually ban all abortions in the country as such. That is a very, very important freedom, the right of women to do with as they please with their own bodies, for the left in this country, for the progressives. So Roe v. Wade posed the threat. But there was an even greater fear. Kavanaugh has a long, distinguished record as what we call an originalist. That means when he reads the Constitution and makes his rulings on the bench, he does it according to what he, in his best judgment, believes the founders themselves originally intended when they drafted and signed the United States Constitution. Well, consider the radical program the most vocal Democrats today are promoting. Where in the Constitution is there a power for government to grant universal medical care to every man, woman, and child, or a guaranteed annual income, or a Green New Deal, or free college tuition for all? And it's worse than that, even. Where does the Constitution authorize the appropriation of taxpayer money for something like a Department of Housing and Urban Development, or Health and Human Services, or the Departments of Agriculture, Commerce, and Labor, and on and on? And those are clientele agencies that work on behalf of agriculture, commerce, and labor. They are part of what I called in our last few sessions corporate welfare. Well, for the political left, Kavanaugh, therefore, could pose a mortal threat to the welfare state as such, both the corporate welfare side and the social welfare side. He had to be defeated.
You know, what's interesting about your recount of the Kavanaugh hearings is recently on the news, believe it or not, Kavanaugh has sided the most times thus far with Roberts than any other jurors.
That's true.
I don't know if you know that.
I just saw that last night on Fox.
So this is further egg on the face of the liberal left on the Judiciary Committee to thwart Kavanaugh's appointment. And like you just stated, he's an originalist, and he's proved that consistently, even in his rulings.
And
this, you know, on the bench recently. I'd like to move into talking about, you have some a key word in the title of this show about why leaders lie and where will their lies lead us. Can you tell us a little bit more about your idea of lying to the American people?
I'm very glad that you asked me that question, because what I'm really talking about is more than lying. It's a question of dishonesty, of being dishonest. And in a second, I'm going to say precisely what's wrong with being dishonest for an individual or for a nation. Sure, there are outright lies that important Democrats and liberals tell. It was a bald-faced lie when President Obama said, if you like your doctor or your insurance plan, you can keep your doctor and your plan. He knew full well at that moment that was a lie, since nearly no one in the country had insurance plans or arrangements with doctors for the many mandates Obama compelled every American to carry. No one had that kind of insurance. No one was paying the premiums to cover all those additional mandates that they very well may never have wanted and certainly never have needed. There were many examples of that. It was a lie when Hillary Clinton assured the country that the obscure Hollywood filmmaker responsible for the Benghazi bloodbath and the murder of a U.S. ambassador and three of his security detail, when that filmmaker would be brought to justice for that heinous act. Again, that was a lie. She knew, everyone immediately knew, that whatever was responsible for the murder in Benghazi, it was not a obscure California filmmaker. So those are direct lies. But there are other telltale signs that reveal dishonesty at play. Maybe you wouldn't call them lies directly, but the person is being dishonest. Hypocrisy is one. You compare the things a person says to the way a person acts. When the Democrats say we can't afford to spend $5.7 billion for a stretch of border wall on our southern border, but they would happily spend trillions for universal medical care or guaranteed annual income for every American, the dishonesty is manifest. When the people who promote the Green New Deal tell us that we have 12 years to save the planet and to keep life sustainable on Earth, if that was true, if the situation was so dire, if the crisis was upon us, why on earth aren't the Green New Dealers staging massive popular protests in front of every Chinese embassy and consulate in the United States and around the world? It is well known that China pumps twice the volume of carbon pollutants into the atmosphere as does the United States. It is manufacturing for the entire world, and its manufacturing plants aren't anything like ours in terms of environmental safeguards. So if the danger was that great, the Green New Dealers should be protesting far more in front of Chinese missions around the world than they are the American Congress, when we have done so much in this country to clean up the environment. So that is how hypocrisy, how you compare statements, claims with actions. Certainly hypocrisy when Al Gore and Nancy Pelosi fly everywhere in their private planes, in very environmentally hazardous planes in Al Gore's case, and yet claiming that there is so great a danger to the whole planet from pollutants. A second, besides hypocrisy, a second telltale sign and dead giveaway is evasion. Evasion. Not looking at facts that are right in front of you because they may question the claim that you're making. So when the Dems insist that border walls never work, that they're a waste of time and money, they completely ignore the fact that walls have worked every time they've been tried. They've worked in San Diego. They've worked in El Paso. They've worked in Yuma to dramatically reduce the instances of border crossing from illegals from south of the border.
They've worked in China, and they've also worked at the Vatican.
and they work in the estate of all these people who keep telling us they don't work. Okay. Now, there's even a worse situation that goes beyond hypocrisy and goes beyond evasion, and that is when our leaders make claims without any support whatsoever. When Nancy Pelosi got in front of the microphones and without any evidence to support the claim or any proof or any kind of verification, she claims that building walls across our national borders is immoral. It is immoral. Immoral by what standard? She never said. What makes it immoral? What backing in moral philosophy can she claim? Was she a professor of moral philosophy? God help us. So those are the ways to detect the many lies. And if you apply those tests, you're going to find our public leaders lie every day, routinely. It's part of what they do, along with eating their Cheerios in the morning.
Wow. For those who are listening into the show right now, this is U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Sean T. Brown. We have with us Dr. Jerome Heiler, PhD in political science, talking about why leaders lie. Professor, so how do habits of lying form and fester in the highest reaches of our government?
Now, this is my own theory, so I hope our listeners will take it as such. But you only have to ask the question, from what profession do most politicians hail? What were they before they were candidates for public office? And senators,
lawyers,
congressmen, and mayors, and governors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the answer is they were lawyers. Well, think of the implications of that. When a lawyer walks through the courthouse doors, he leaves truth and reality outside. His job, his responsibility, professional responsibility, is to press the most plausible possible case he can on behalf of his client, whether it's a defendant or a plaintiff, or if he's a prosecutor, the people. We have an adversarial system, and that's what the ethical canons of the law demand of the practicing lawyer. We call them litigators. In preparing for his career, in fact, he's often asked to debate a question against an opposing side, and then after that debate is finished, he is asked to just as vehemently argue the opposite position. His assignment, defend each case aside with equal vigor and passion. So he gets used to what in politics is called spin, being able to spin any circumstance or situation to his own best benefit. Well, when these lawyers rack up a lot of courtroom wins, they win a lot of cases, it often goes to their head. They are very successful. They command huge sums of money. They are in demand by clients who want them to represent them in court. And they often get a swell head. Many of them decide to hang up their shingle, become their own clients, and run for public office. And they've already had a lifetime's worth of training in how to paint themselves in the best light, how to excuse or justify any position that they take, even if they're taking the position for reasons that have nothing whatsoever to do for the arguments they make. This is the position I have to make in order to climb the political ladder in my party, and I have to defend this position, even if whether I believe it or not, and they are trained to do exactly that. Their life in the law prepared them for the dirt that goes on in politics.
Wow. Well, it leads me to another question. We've all been told that honesty is the best policy, that dishonesty is wrong and ultimately harms everyone. Exactly why is that?
Okay, if you think about it, honesty is not just not lying to your girlfriend or not lying to your husband or your father or your children. Honesty is much broader than that. It means, most basically, seeing the world as it is, not believing that what is isn't, or that what isn't is. In other words, it is the refusal to lie to oneself. One wants to be honest. One wants to see the world as it objectively is. What is the advantage to that? Well, the question to ask is this: how can we expect to deal with the world effectively, to solve our problems, meet all exigencies as they come up, and overcome obstacles if we are not prepared to deal with the world as it actually is? There are many, many other reasons to be honest. people who dissemble have a very hard time keeping their lies and their deceptions up in the air to juggle all of them. They forget what they've said because what they said is just something they had to make up to get out of trouble in this case or in that case. But someone who wants to solve problems, whether you're an auto mechanic, whether you are a shop teacher, an English teacher, in whatever field you're in, the only way to solve a problem, the only way to figure out how to do something smarter or quicker, more efficiently or cheaper, is to look at reality as it is, to understand as best you can what obstacle is in your way preventing you from doing something that you know you have to do, whether it's changing brakes on a car or being an architect, making a bridge, or a civil engineer, how to cross a mountain gorge. You have to see the world as it is in order to deal effectively with the world that we all confront. It's the only way we can solve our problems. It is the way we survive. It is the way we thrive. It is why we aren't freezing in the winter in the middle of New York City when all it takes is a fuel delivery to keep ourselves warm, or keep an air conditioner running in the summer to keep ourselves cool enough. These weren't available 300 years ago before the scientific revolution of 400 years ago, or the application of science to technology. All of the marvelous life-saving, labor-saving instruments that have come along that make our daily lives so much more comfortable than they used to be for people, those are all the application of science to technology and to invention, and then to our kitchens and our laundry rooms and every place else. But it's only by seeing reality. Well, the same thing is in political relations or moral relations. The only way in the end to deal with people effectively and to deal with the world effectively is to see the world as it is. Someone who is content to lie about the world, who is not honest, who is not ready to see reality as it exists, you have to ask, what is he after? If the truth is not valuable to him, is he something that really means well? I think that is my best way of explaining the importance of honesty as a principle that should guide us in all of our human relations, all the days of our lives, if you don't mind me saying.
Doctor, I want to say thank you. You have summarized the beginning of part one of a three-part series of Why Leaders Lie very, very well. I would like to add to what you spoke about in today's show that basically leaders lie because of power. And that is very, very interesting because some of them already have money. So the power seems to be the mechanism where they will compromise their integrity or moral position for political or power or whatever gain that they're looking for. That's a very interesting dynamic when we look at our current political landscape and we look at our current leaders. I hope that the people that are listening to this show and listen to it in the future, that this is a good beginning to be able to dissect, assess, and look at what our leaders are saying today and be able to impose some critical thinking on it where you can really assess where this particular candidate or current leader is coming from. And I just want to say thank you very much. We have about 5 more minutes left in the show. And if you don't mind, I would like to touch upon, if you have a couple of minutes, to all our listeners, part two, Why Leaders Lie, next week, is going to be talking about If it isn't truth or justice that the political left is after, what is it they want? I'm sure you'll have additional insights for our audience. Please share. And I think I just touched upon it by saying that I believe that what they're after is power. So if you can give us a couple of minutes, give us a taste, a flavor of what's going to happen at the next show, part two, we'd really appreciate it.
That's a fair request, Chauncey. Okay.
Thank you.
You
have 2 minutes.
In the days after the Kavanaugh hearings, many, many commentators, especially commentators on the right, like on Fox or like on talk radio, said in so many words that the Democrats on the committee, the opponents of Kavanaugh's nomination, were not after the truth. They proved that they were after power. That was observed by many, many commentators who I listen to. And it's true. But what does that mean? That was not developed. What does it mean to seek power? What are the motives people have for seeking power? It's not one or two, it's many. And what actually is the gravest danger of a country in which people are willing to look the country in the face and lie through their teeth in order to acquire power? What danger does that bode? And just as an insight, let me say that the founding fathers wrote an incredible amount about men's search for power. In matter of fact, there wouldn't have been an American Revolution, a war of independence, if the founders were not as afraid as they were about the heavy-handed use of power by the British government in the early 1770s, hence the revolution. All of that next time.
Dr. Hyler, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, leading the introduction of Why Leaders Lie, Part 1, giving us a taste of Part 2. For all of our listeners, we are here every Tuesday night at Blog Talk Radio at U.S. National Politics at 6 o'clock as we talk about national politics in the United States. Also, you can locate us on Facebook at U.S. National Politics 101, and you can go to our website at blogger.com, U.S. National Politics. We want to thank you, Doctor, again, for coming on our show and educating the American people on why leaders lie. We look forward to seeing you next week, Doctor. We want to thank all our listeners for tuning into the show, and we look forward in the future to having our listeners calling in and asking questions of my co-host, Dr. Hyler. I want to say thank you again, everyone. God bless, and have a good evening. And thank you again, Doctor.
You're very welcome.